rolls off the tongue, and it's so clear. All, one to all by one. And it'll make sense when we get done with this today. But as you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, I want to hit off a couple of things that people will say. People say that the Bible is full of lies or contradictions, or it's not, you know, that people think the Bible's all this, but, you know, I'm not stupid and I can find all sorts of contradiction. Like, who sinned first? Eve. But the Bible says sin came first by man, so we'll deal with that today. They also say that God is not fair. Adam and Eve sinned, but I didn't sin, so why am I held accountable to that? Well, it's a good question. I'm glad I brought it up because I'm going to answer it today. And if God is so loving and Jesus died to pay the full sin penalty, why would anybody go to hell? That's a great question. I hope we can come up with a decent answer today. All right, so if you got your Bibles open to Romans, you're way ahead of me because I'm off my pace, but I'll be there in a second. Romans chapter 5. We're going to pick this up in verse 12, and we're going to read down through verse 21. Still in 1 Corinthians. I'm like, that didn't look right. This looks much better. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. All right, I got to stop for a second here, because this is a really, you gotta do a little bit of thinking. It's not the easiest portion of Scripture. So, now you might be surprised to hear that that's a map of the United States. Okay? But what does this map signify? Well, you probably can't read it, but it says that this map reflects adultery laws per state and territory in the United States as of 2023. Now, the black states, and there's very few of them, and Puerto Rico, adultery is a felony. The gray, this gray and this gray and these grays down here, it's only a misdemeanor, okay? In this color, which includes Washington, Nevada, Texas, you know, New Mexico, I mean, it was never criminalized. But these different green colors, the darker it was decriminalized before 1990, that's the lightest. Then it's decriminalized between 1990 and 2010, that's the middle one. And decriminalized between 2010 and the present, that's this dark, darker, darker green. Question for you. Is it wrong to commit adultery if it's not against the law? Yes. Thank you, I appreciate you saying that. Why? If it's not against the law, why is it wrong? Legitimate question. Look back in Romans chapter 5. It says, sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Here's the thing. Sin, that is God's standard, is true. It always has been, always will be. Now, under the Mosaic law, it was identified, this is what sin is. But that doesn't change God's standard. We don't live under the Mosaic law, but right and wrong still exists. But if you don't have a legal code, you can't hold people and say, look, this is the law. It's a little bit difficult. Just in case you are wondering, Dick, adultery is still bad, okay? Just throwing it out there, a blanket statement, sin is sin, okay? I don't think that went as well as I wanted it to, but I hope you understand that even though it's not against the written law, it's still against God's righteousness, okay? And it's pretty easy to see. I'm going to move on. Let's go back to reading through this. We'll see if we can do better. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one that was to come. See, if it's not against the law, it's still wrong. But it's not like what Adam did. God told Adam, don't do this. That's the law. Adam broke the law. Doing what's wrong without a law is still wrong. But it's not breaking a written law, okay? That's what I'm trying to get across. It's all clear as mud. We're moving on. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who received the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through the righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is not a very easy, fun passage sometimes, but it's gonna answer those three accusations that I made. Whether or not the Bible is full of lies or errors, whether or not God is fair or not, and why do some people have to go to hell? This passage addresses all three of those. So let's start with sin. First, I just want you to know this. Eve sinned first, okay? I'm just throwing it out there. It was Eve who got it wrong first. But look what it says in verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man. If we turn back to Genesis, and we're going to eventually, you and I both know Eve was deceived by the serpent and ate first. But this says sin came into the world through one man. How is that possible? It deals with the word responsibility. Adam, though second to sin, bore responsibility. We're going to be back in Romans chapter 5, but you really need to turn to Numbers chapter 30. Because this talks about responsibility in a way that is going to make, if you understand Numbers 30, you'll understand what's going on here. Just see, Numbers chapter 30. Let's start off in verse 1. Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of the people of Israel, saying, "This is what the Lord has commanded." Now stop right there. God is making a statement. God, the creator of all, who bears all authority, who has all sovereignty, says, this is the way it is. Now, we've got people out there that do crazy things like post speed limits. They say, this is how fast you're supposed to go and no faster. Those people are crazy. Pedal goes down. Car goes fast. You know, no. God said, this is the way it is. What happens if you break the speed limit? You get tickets. I sometimes get tickets. You get tickets. What happens if you break God's law? Can you ever get away with it? Do you ever go zipping by and God's having a pastrami sandwich? He's like, I ain't bothering with it today. No, that ain't happening. You're not outrunning God's troopers. God makes a command. This is the way it is. And this is what he says. This is what the Lord has commanded. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. God says that if you as a man, make a vow or a pledge, you better follow through, because God's going to hold you accountable. Do it or else. So far, so good. Everybody with me? Read on. If a woman, now, okay, I don't care what people say, there is a difference. And you know it, and I know it, and God knows it. And look what he says. If a man makes a vow, you better. If a woman vows a vow to the Lord and binds herself by a pledge while within her father's house in her youth, and her father hears of her vow and of her pledge by which she has bound herself and says nothing to her, then all her vows shall stand, and every pledge by which she has bound herself shall stand. Did you catch it? If she is within her father's house in her youth, she is under the responsibility of her dad. And her dad can either agree or disagree. If he doesn't say anything, it stands. Verse 5, but if her father opposes her on the day that he hears of it, no vow of hers, no pledge by which she has bound herself shall stand, and the Lord will forgive her because her father has opposed her. The man under whose authority she resides can either validate or invalidate any pledge she makes, because he has authority and responsibility over her. Carry on. Verse 6, if she marries a husband while under her vows or any thoughtless utterance of her lips by which she has bound herself, and her husband hears of it and says nothing to her on that day that he hears it, then her vow shall stand and her pledges by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if on the day that her husband comes to hear of it, he opposes her, then he makes void her vow that was upon her and the thoughtless utterance of her lips by which she bound herself, and the Lord will forgive her. But, notice this, any vow of a widow or a divorced woman, anything by which she has bound herself, shall stand against her. The Word of God has made a decree. Men, if you make a vow, you are accountable to it. Ladies, if you are under the authority, responsibility of a man, be he your father or your husband, he has responsibility and authority over you. He may validate or invalidate any vow, utterance, pledge you make. I didn't make this up. This wasn't something that I said, you know what? I'm going to fix society. This is how I'm going to do it. I didn't do that. God established this relationship. Interestingly enough, in my opinion, he did it for various reasons, but one reason is protection. How many of you have ever said something stupid? How many of you wish you had somebody that could take it away for you? You know, there's a lot of times where I've like put both feet in my mouth and I was like, dang. When you are sitting underneath somebody's authority, they can protect you. They can watch over you. They can stand between you and consequences. You may be feeling a bit overwhelmed by some of the things that have gone on. Some of you guys remember Top Gun? Maverick, you're writing checks that you can't cover, right? You feel that way sometimes, that some of the decisions and action you've done, you've written checks you can't cover. And you feel like, boy, wouldn't it be great if there was somebody that could just take over and protect me? You're right. Sin is a check that we can't pay the bill on. We don't want to pay the bill on. It is a total deal. There's some people who think, I'm so close to getting it right. Just a little bit more effort, I'm going to take it. No, you're delusional. Sin is one of those things that covers everything. Wouldn't it have been great if in the garden, Eve takes and is deceived and she partakes in the fruit, and her husband Adam had stepped in to protect her and had said, no, this shall not stand. We need to go to God and we need to get this right. Could you imagine what would have happened? The sin problem would have been dealt with right there. But Adam failed his responsibility as a man. Adam said, well, might as well, she's doing it. Instead of standing up with the strength and authority and responsibility with which God Himself had given him. And you and I both know what's happened since then. But what's amazing, turn to Isaiah chapter 9. You guys have probably heard this once or twice. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Jesus came to pick up the mantle of responsibility that man have so blatantly dropped. Adam failed, but Jesus came and took up that responsibility. And notice what he says, Everlasting Father. There's that protection. He watches over his children. He stands between them and their foolish consequences. More than that, notice what it says. The government shall be upon his shoulders. He is bearing, he has come to pick up the mantle of responsibility and to fulfill it. We didn't finish reading Numbers chapter 30. But in Numbers chapter 30, if the husband fails to respond when he first hears his wife's bad pledge, but later on says, you know, that's a stupid thing. For instance, let's say a wife has gone out and she's decided she's going to buy a Louis Vuitton purse or whatever, okay? And the husband hears about it and he's just like, oh, geez, I don't have time to deal with this today. And in the morning he wakes up and he says, did you really say you're going to buy that? And he said, no, you're not going to buy it. It's too late. On the day he heard of it, he didn't stop her. Now, if he stops her, he bears the responsibility. He was supposed to act when it came up. He was supposed to bow up with his responsibility then, not down the road when he, you know, wasn't so busy or wasn't so burdened or whatever. And it says that he will be held accountable. Oh, he can remove the accountability from her. You're not doing that. She's off scot-free. Now God says, hey, you didn't do it right. You're guilty. That authority, that responsibility. Adam failed in the garden. But Jesus Christ came to pick it up and to pay the penalty, to cover and to provide a means of escape. In love, he bore our guilt. All right, so sin. First of all, sin. The Bible says that Eve sinned first. She did. But sin only came through one man because one man, Adam, had the responsibility. He was in that position of protection, of covering, of watching over, and he failed. And because he failed, his responsibility, sin came in. If he had taken care of his responsibility, he would have protected not only Eve, but himself. But he failed. Okay? 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 So when we say sin came into the world by one man, it's because Adam bore the responsibility. All right? Yes. Shall we move on? I hope so. Here we go. After sin comes death. Yay! Back in Romans chapter 5. I know, we've almost done with verse 12. We'll get done with it eventually. All right. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, we've covered that, right? Though Eve sinned first, Adam bore the responsibility. His failure in dealing with that allowed sin to go unchecked. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. Okay. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. The Lord commanded the man, saying, you shall surely eat of every tree of the garden, verse 17, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Adam and Eve, they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and therefore death entered into the world. Now we know that the day that they partook, they spiritually died. That is, there became a separation in their relationship between them and God. They died in that way. Physical death came along later. But look what it says here. It's in back in 5, or, chapter 3, verse 6. Yeah, you can turn over to chapter 3 in Genesis. Woman saw the tree, it was good, and she ate it. They did what they weren't supposed to. Chapter 5, verse 12 of Romans says, death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And you need to understand some basic principles here. Life begets life. And if you do not have life, the only thing that remains is death. I don't care what the people say, that if you wait long enough and you put enough of this together and you add electricity and this amount of argon and that much, without life, there can be no life. You can have all the perfect settings for it, but without life, all you have is death. Only God grants life. So look what happens here. Follow along here in verse 12. Death came through sin, right? So death spread to all men because all sinned. I've heard it said that in Adam we have all chosen sin. And I'm not saying that we didn't. I'm saying that this verse isn't teaching exactly that. You have Eve. You have Adam. Eve sinned. there's death. She has lost that relationship with God. But what about Adam? He still had life. But then he sinned. Death and death cannot make life. Do you understand that because they both were dead in their trespasses and sin, they could not raise godly children? You realize that without that spiritual life, all they could pass on is physical life? Spiritual life is gone. Because all were dead. There was nobody with life in them to pass it on. They were dead. Welcome to winter. We have sliding snow off of the roof. Don't be distracted by those things behind the curtain. No, just kidding. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man because he failed in his responsibility, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because when he failed his responsibility to care for his family, all sinned. And without life, there can be only death. It's not a question of fairness. It's a basic question of reality. It's about truth. We live in a society where I make my own truth. No, you don't. You're delusional. You are wrong between the ears. Truth is. You can deny it. You can run away from it. You can stick your fingers in your ears, close your eyes, and go la 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 la. It's not going to change reality. I spent 20 years as an umpire. And to be honest, I got every one of my calls right. Every one of them. I may have made an error in judgment, but if I said you were out, guess what you were? You were out. You can come argue with me all day long. I might have made the wrong call, but my call was you're out, and guess what? You're out. Or safe. Or ugly, or whatever else. My call was right. The reality is once that call is made, that's the call. Now you can whine about it, you can complain about it, but the reality is you're out. That's truth. Truth is not subject to our desires. Truth is not swayed by what we want. Truth is, you can say, I was born in the wrong body. You can say, I don't believe. You can say whatever you want. Truth is truth, and the reality is God exists, and he will hold man accountable, mankind accountable for the choices they make. It's not about fairness. Well, if I had been in the garden, I wouldn't have chosen. I don't care. You weren't in the garden. But if I had, doesn't matter. This is the hand we're dealt. We have to play it. We have to deal with reality as it is. And the reality is that apart from life, there is only death. That's why it says we're born in our trespasses and sins. That's why it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because without faith, without life, it is impossible to please God. When Eve sinned, she died. And when Adam sinned, he died. And thus all died. And without life, there is only death. What a wonderful sermon. I'm so glad I came to church today. I feel so uplifted. How about we continue? Let's talk a little bit about life. If you take a look and read through this in Romans chapter 5, like verse 18, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation to, I was thinking verse 15, not verse 18. The free gift is not like the trespass. And you're going to read in verse 16, the free gift is not like the result of one man's trespass. The free gift is not like the trespass. One was natural, The other is supernatural. I'm not talking about Captain America or the incredible whatever. I'm talking about one was natural and logical and to be expected. The other was totally unexpected, beyond what you would think could happen. You see, God said, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Guess what? They ate of the tree of knowledge, and guess what happened? I know it's a shocker. They died. Just the way God said. And everybody else follows that path. But then comes God with the free gift of salvation. You know, we were reading, you know, earlier in chapter 5. Maybe somebody would die for a good person, but not really. And Jesus Christ didn't die for good people, did he? He died for people like us. Think about this. If one sin led to death, what should the result of the mountain of sin in our lives result in? I mean, if one sin led to death, think of all the sins that you've done. I bet it's more than one. Can I get an amen? It is. What should the result of a monumental amount of a lifetime of sin be if the result of one sin was death? Monumental, unending punishment? Incredible guilt? Unstoppable judgment by God? Follow with me, if you will. I want to just spend a little bit of time reviewing what we've studied in the book of Romans so far. Chapter 1, Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Our sin led to death, but God has provided a means by faith to life. That's amazing. Turn over to chapter 3. Pick it up in verse 20. "For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight." Look, if you were perfect in your life, if you did everything right, if you were perfect from start to finish, guess what? You would still be dead, because without life, there is only death. Now, that hypothetical, let's be honest, there ain't nobody that's lived a perfect life. Not even the great and glorious Mrs. James, who's darn near perfect. None of us are. "For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law," apart from the natural order of things, apart from A, B, C, sin, death, punishment. There's something else here. "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for those people who pay their dues on Sunday." No? It should say that. "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." You don't have to do. You don't have to say. You don't have to. It's belief. "For there is no distinction. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Death leads to death, but God in His grace has provided a means of life. Chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. You see, as we read through Romans chapter 5, it answers the questions of, is the Bible accurate? What about these discrepancies? We can answer. We can give legitimate answers to them. Is God fair? Absolutely, God is fair. Is God just? He's more just than we want. But God is also gracious beyond knowledge. If one sin led to death, imagine the consequences of the mountain of sin of which both you and I are guilty. Apart from faith, we would have to bear that burden on our own. But John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Look, people, one man committed a sin and transmitted death to all. But all of the sin that you and I have committed was paid for by one, by Jesus Christ on the cross. And it leaves us with a choice. We can deny the truth. There are people all around us every day who deny the truth. They deny the existence of God. They deny their need for saving. They deny, and they die. And bear that responsibility. Don't be that. You can accept the gift of life by faith in Jesus Christ, by recognizing your sin, and by turning to Him for forgiveness. It's a free gift to all who accept. Man, it would be wonderful if you are far from the Lord, if you turn to Him today. Father, thank You for Jesus Christ. Thank You for the gift of life which He provides. Thank You for the hope that can be found only in Him.